Well, welcome to church. It's so good to see all your beautiful faces here. It's kind of, this is the awkward Sunday where the day after Boxing Day, you kind of don't know whether you're still supposed to say Merry Christmas to people or you move on and say Happy New Year. So I'm just going to say both, all right? Merry Christmas. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year as well in a few days' time. My name is Joel and my wife Sarah's here as well. And we are privileged to lead a C3 church over the hill in the Waikato called Hope Chapel. We have a location in Hamilton East, in Hamilton there, and also in Cambridge. And welcome too to the online church here, City Church Online. We have an online location too. There's nothing like a global pandemic and a lockdown to spark the online locations and get them going and get all the technology. The production guys love it because suddenly they've got an unlimited budget, right? They can get all that stuff that they were dreaming for beforehand. We've got three kids, age 5, 7, and 9, and they were going to be with us here this morning, but praise Jesus, they are with their grandparents this morning. So it's awesome. They're swimming in the pool when we left, and we thought that's wonderful. And they're not, otherwise, they'd be testing out the health and safety of your kids program on the last Sunday of the year, which is not so ideal. But they're a huge blessing to us, full of joy and life and busyness and craziness, which is great. And school holidays are wonderful, aren't they? Okay. Anyway, it's so good to be back at C3 City Church. Not only did I grow up here in this part of the country, but I've in the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of being here. This is my third time speaking to you guys, so I feel like I'm part of the family now. But it is a little bit, I love this place a lot, don't get me wrong, but it is a little bit of a test of God every time I come here, because I do get a little bit jealous of your building. Every time I'm like, I have to pray in tongues before I get here and just say, look, I can be inspired but not jealous. And so you guys have an amazing facility, and people say to me, well, what's in your heart? What does God have for Hope Chapel next? And now it's so awesome because I now actually have a tangible thing that previously only existed in my dreams. So now I just say, well, take a drive over to City Church. That's where we're heading, right? So that's good. It's awesome. And not only do you have an amazing building, but also you have incredible pastors. And I want to honor Pastor Alan and Eleanor Hood, who are taking a well-deserved break. I do see that the real Christians of the Hood family, the legends, Pastor James and Mary, are still in church, even though it's Christmas. So we know. And then the kids are playing drums, so I'm not quite sure where that is. But it's great that they're having a wonderful break. And Sarah and I have huge respect for Pastor Alan and Eleanor, and they've been an incredible blessing to the C3 movement already here in New Zealand. And we had Eleanor ministering over at our Holy Spirit conference this year, which was fantastic. She did an amazing job. And our highlight was actually we had all the guests go and speak in the kids' conference as well. And not only did she just go and do that, but she prayed for and ministered to all the children. She came running back and said, your daughter Alia Rose is praying in tongues for the first time. And so awesome. We love the Hoods a lot, and it's a privilege to be here with you guys this morning. I was actually kind of on holiday. Our church isn't open today, and I was like, man, I'm on holiday. And then I get the text from Eleanor. It's like, you can't say no to Pastor Eleanor. So, but I'd rather be here than anywhere else, and that's the honest truth. So it's awesome. Well done for being in church as well. You managed to roll yourself off the couch or out of bed and kind of shake yourself loose of that food coma and made it to church. So it's good. I did the same thing, so we're all in the same boat. But you're looking wonderful and fresh and ready. And I know that God has a word for you guys here this morning. So lean in and be ready. Be expectant for what God is going to do. It's cool. Those guys online, they're still in their food coma, but they may be tuning in, they may be listening, I'm not sure. So we're in the last Sunday of 2020. Holy moly, right? What a year this has been. We've all learned some phrases like social distancing and cluster and bubbles and self-isolation and lockdowns and all of these words that we never thought we'd ever really need to use. And we've all had a go at homeschooling our kids, some more successfully than others. And we've had a go at working from home, using Zoom, again, some more successfully than others. We've had a go at doing church online only. And some people have thrived, and that's awesome. And some people have really struggled this year. We know in our church, numbers of people have had one of the worst years of their lives this year. But it's safe to say whether you've thrived or struggled, every single person has been affected in some way by this thing called COVID-19. It was one of those blindsides that just came out of nowhere and hit us in the face. and we had to adapt and pivot. There's another one of those words, right? We never really talked about pivoting before, and now it's thrown out everywhere. We had to pivot quickly to make it work. I've been thinking a little bit lately as we head towards the end of 2020 about goal setting. Who made some goals for 2020 at the start of the year? Who planned some? Well, that was a complete waste of time, wasn't it, really? Oh, you know, I did. I made some goals. And those of us who did think it's a brand new decade, start of a new year, let's make some goals. And we had to quickly realize that we needed to change those goals or throw them out completely and set some new ones. The goalposts have definitely been shifted this year. And our expectations, I think, need to shift a little bit as well. And it's often a temptation, and we like to set yearly goals. The end, this kind of time frame, the end of a year, we start thinking about the next year. And if you're super organized, you did it 6 months ago, starting planning out what 2021 would look like. And we make these goals for a year, which is good. But I've started to think, I like the idea of longer term goal setting than just yearly goal setting. Because I think that a yearly goal set is a great idea. But we all know now that a year can throw some major curveballs, right? And completely out of our control. But over a decade, we have a lot more control or influence about the direction of our lives, and little decisions after little decisions can head us towards a goal or to achieve something. And so I started thinking about my last decade. And at the end of the last decade, Sarah and I were making a plan to move back to New Zealand. We were living in Australia. And we're dreaming for our future. And really, we had three goals in moving back to New Zealand. Number one, we wanted to plant a church in Hamilton. Number two, we wanted to buy a house. And number three is we wanted to make babies. Okay, which is cool. And I mean, it sounds like a fun decade. I mean, the decade, not the making babies, although that's fun too. Yeah, Jesus, help me. But this is church. So we headed into this decade, but by a year or so into the decade, the church plant that we'd started had been sabotaged from underneath us, and we're in the process of closing it down. Sarah had just had a miscarriage, and so we were grieving that. And we were living in my parents, in a little room in my parents' garage. So a year or so into the decade, we were winning at this goal thing, right? The three goals we came back for, all of them were a dismal failure. Hashtag winning at the goals. And then 2/3 of the way through the last decade, I was diagnosed with cancer. And we didn't know whether I'd even make it to see the end of this decade. So there was definitely some tough times throughout the decade and some lowlights. But there was also some amazing highlights through the last decade. Too many to list, actually. But now on the other side of the decade, we can look back over the last 10 years and we now lead an amazing growing church in Hamilton City. We've planted another one in Cambridge and we have plans to plant some more. We have an awesome lifestyle property that we own and live on. And most importantly, the biggest blessing of our last decade was we have three amazing, beautiful children. What an incredible decade. That's reason to celebrate, right? And I'm sure all of you have similar stories when you start stretching things out, looking at what has been achieved over the last 10 years. But here's the thing, though. At any snapshot within a decade, you could be riding the waves of success or you could be wallowing in depression depending on where things were at that snapshot. And I think at the end of a year like we've just had, 2020, I think it's helpful for all of us individually and as a church to actually to look bigger than just the year that has been. Maybe you need to hear this morning. Maybe you've come to church feeling a little bit down about the year that you've had. But who cares what the first year of the decade looks like? There's 9 more to go, right? And we've got a whole lot of opportunity to reset things and get going to the direction that we want to achieve. And with God in the picture, anything is possible. All things are possible. So Sarah had penned this phrase for us as a church, and it's kind of become a key quote for our year, actually. Success in this season looks like faithfulness. Let me say that to you again. Success in this season looks like faithfulness. In a year where everything has changed and shifted, the goalposts have moved, we need to throw out some of our goals and ambitions. And I think the measure of success of any person, any family, any individual, any church, actually, the measure of our success should purely be Faithfulness. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, during lockdown, I kind of succumbed to the rest of the country into cruising Trade Me and looking at other things. Sarah was making sourdough bread as everyone else in the country was. I was looking for deals and bargains and ended up buying a boat during lockdown. Who else bought boats during lockdown? Anyway, the lockdown lifted and we had to go in and pick up this boat and we got it home and it's awesome. Loved it and playing with the boat. But the thing was, my kids were so keen to get out on the boat. Sarah was so keen to get out on the boat. I hadn't really had the boat for long. And they were like, let's go out. This is still winter time, so daylight saving hadn't come yet. And by the time the kids were home from school and ready and everyone was set to go down to the lake, it's about 4:30 in the evening. Dusk had begun to set. And I was scrambling around trying to find some tools. And we had it running on the hose. Thought, this is going to be fine. And I head off down to the lake, got the boat launched, fired it up, and she ran. I was like, whoa, we're winning. That's awesome. And we headed up the river. I wanted to go up the river so if it did die, we could float back down, right? It's good logic right there. Kids had their jackets on. It was cold. And we headed up. It kept running mint. And so we went up the river, and then we went down the river, and then we went down the river a little bit further. And this is awesome. And it was glassy. And I thought, this is peaceful. So I turned the motor off. And Asher, my five-year-old, said, no, it stopped. So I turned the key off. It'll go. It's fine. It'll start. So the kids did some jumping off and playing and whatever, freezing cold, shivering. And then we were like, okay, let's head back to the ramp. It's getting dark. Went to start the thing up. And it's like, rrr, rrr. So, oh, that's all right. I've got a jump box. Turned out I didn't have a jump box. That was still in the garage because I was under pressure from the wife and kids to get the boat on the trailer. So anyway, We kept trying to get it started. Couldn't get the thing to go. The battery went flat. I was like, it's okay. This boat came fully equipped with oars. And so we lifted the sensor thing off, found the oars. They were covered in black slime and mold from being in storage for so long. I gave the first oar to Sarah and said, you better start paddling. So she starts paddling. I'm sitting on the other side. Now, you're not really supposed to row like a 20-foot fiberglass boat. But anyway, we started rowing. And Sarah wiped her face, so she had black slime. She looked like she was a Navy SEAL or something. Like, we're a pet. The kids were, Hugo, my seven-year-old, he said, I'll jump out and help kick. And I'm like, no, don't. Stay in the boat. We got no way to go and get you if you start getting swept down the river. Anyway, we start paddling for about half an hour or so, thinking, man, we're doing all right here. And then Asher, the five-year-old, she says, oh, no. And we're like, what? He goes, we're still in the same place. So I picked him up and threw him over, but no, I didn't. But so all the kids thought this was hilarious and we'd lost the plot. And so that became the chant while Mum and Dad continued to row for several hours. We're not going anywhere. We're still in the same place. But guess what? We were faithful, right? We kept on rowing. We kept on rowing. Eventually, a few hours later, we managed to get back to the boat ramp. And I backed the trailer down. Kids were tired and grumpy. Mum and Dad, well, yeah, we were a little bit tired and grumpy too. I won't say anything else. So we put the boat on the trailer, start winding it up, right? And it's just about in place. And I was doing the last couple of turns and bang, the whole winch exploded inside. It turned out it was corroded and rusty and the boat shoots off back down the trailer. We had to float. Luckily, I had some ropes and ratchets. By this point, I was like, oh, faithfulness, whatever. We've got to get home. But we did manage to get the boat on the trailer. It was well after dark and came home, and it was like our boating 101 lesson. But listen, this is just a fun kind of example. But we're all dealing with one crazy year, right? And you'd be dishonest to yourself and to others if you said, oh, I'm completely fine at the end of 2020. Or it's had no effect on me. We're all dealing with some stuff. We're all dealing with a crazy year that no one expected. It might feel like your batteries run flat at times. It might feel like the engine won't start. It may feel like your winch has exploded, whatever that's supposed to mean. I'm not sure. That's an analogy right there. But here's the deal. The goalposts have shifted in 2020. Everything has changed. And I am here this morning to tell you that success in this kind of a season is simply faithfulness. Faithfulness. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep on going at this thing called life, or one oar in the water and keep on paddling. Those who stay faithful to what God has placed in your hand will be successful. Faithful to God. Faithful to your family. faithful to your relationships, faithful to your church, faithful to the call that God has placed on your life. God honors faithfulness, and he can work with your faithfulness. God's calling for your life hasn't changed just because COVID-19 has come. God's calling for C3 City Church has not changed because COVID-19 has come. Some virus does not have the power to affect God's call on your life and God's call on this house. It just does not. His mandate for your church is still the same, and you must be resolute and steadfast to the call of God on your life. We must be faithful. Let's have a look. We should have a look at a Bible verse, right? Sunday church, Pastor Eleanor and Eleanor is watching. Revelation 17, verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, the context for this verse is pretty crazy. It's one messed up chapter. I don't want to get into all of that today, but basically it's speaking in a time where evil has risen up and enforced in the world and all hell is breaking loose. Could kind of be like 2020, right? Just a bit more extreme. But as verse 14 says, the Lamb, who is Jesus, by the way, just to clarify, the Lamb will overcome. So let me just be really clear on this last Sunday of 2020, that no matter what is coming against you, no matter what has come against you, COVID-19, the crazy liberal agenda that is running rife in the world, racial tensions, economic collapse, nothing will beat the power of the name of Jesus. He is greater than any of that stuff. We sing about it, we preach about it, we declare it, but I'm here this morning to remind you that the name of Jesus is greater than anything that'll ever come against you in life, anything that you will ever face in your life. My word of God says the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But here's the deal, it goes on to say, and those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That's us. That's you and me. What does that really mean? Well, Jesus is our ultimate example of the called, the chosen, and the faithful. See, before the foundation of the world, God called his son to a specific destiny and purpose. Then Jesus, he was chosen to be the Messiah, to come and rescue humanity as a man. But here's the key, right? He was called and he was chosen, but Jesus, he had to choose to remain faithful to that calling as he went to the cross for you and for me. He was faithful. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured, here it is, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus was called and he was chosen by God, but Jesus had to choose to endure and to remain in the faithful, in the calling to save humanity. He's our perfect example of what he's requiring of us. So who are the called? Who are the called? Well, really, in a general sense of the word, all of humanity is called, because salvation is for everyone. And God's will is that none should perish. So the whole of humanity is called out of darkness into light. The Greek word that we refer to as church is ecclesia, which is literally translated to the called out. The church is made up of people, as it says in Peter, who are called from darkness into this marvelous light, this life that we have. So if everyone or all of humanity is called then to come into the light, so then the chosen are really those who actually step from darkness into light. In Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called and few are chosen. So the called is all of humanity. The chosen are ones who are what we say in quotes, in Christ, or have made a decision to follow Jesus, have stepped from darkness into light, into relationship with Jesus. So if we've said yes to Jesus this morning, then I can tell you biblically that you are called and you are chosen. You are the called and the chosen. But here's the catch, right? There's a third part to this phrase. There's the called, the chosen, and then there's this word called the faithful. The faithful. This is where we, like Jesus, actually have to choose to be faithful. No matter what, to stick it out. Paul describes it so well in 2 Corinthians. He tells this story. He said, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. Just let me stop there for a second. Paul doesn't actually say in this passage what the trouble was. But if you read your Bible, you'll know that a few chapters later in chapter 11, Paul actually goes into detail about all the problems that he's had in his life. We're not going to go there this morning, but he lists out some crazy stuff like being shipwrecked 3 times and flogged 5 times and pummeled with rocks and betrayed and hard labor. He had a huge amount of challenges in his world. So this problem that he talks about in Asia could have been any one of those things. Or something entirely different. But what I love about it is it makes his trouble so relatable to you and I, because it could have been anything. It could have been a problem or a trouble that you're facing in 2020 in this life. Paul goes on to say in verse 8, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought that we would never live through it. Jesus describes something very similar to this in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he goes to the cross. He says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. But Jesus stayed faithful and he endured that cross even though his soul was crushed. Even when the pressure had come on and was crushing him, even though everything in him wanted to give up, he stayed there and stayed the course. My kids, we've been teaching them, it seems like from when they were about 2 years old, they get in trouble. As kids do. And the natural response, anyone who's a parent here will know, I thought it only happened when they were teenagers, but apparently not. It happens a lot earlier than that. We haven't got teenagers yet. But the natural response is to leave, right? You start telling them off, or they have an altercation with their brother, or the brother bit the sister, or the other brother punched the... Maybe that's just my house. I'm getting a bit honest here. But something happens, and they go storming off, right? Often there's a door slam or a kick of the wall or something on the way past because the pressure's too much. And if mum and dad are sitting there trying to talk to them about the issue, everything in them just wants to run away, to run to their room, to get away. The problem with that is, though, we all know, right, that that's okay for a moment, but they always have to come back at some point, back into the room to deal with the situation. The other problem with this example is a little closer to home, because I've come to realize that adults still have the same problem as all the kids do. Because as soon as pressure comes on in our world, as soon as there's an altercation or a conflict or there's some challenge that we have to deal with, the natural tendency of human nature is to leave the room, to get out away from the pressure, to get away from the thing that's causing us to shake inside or whatever is going on. And we want to leave the room. And we think, wow, as soon as we do that, we think, wow, that was the best decision ever. There's no pressure. It's all gone. I feel like I'm okay. Life's okay. But it's the same with the kids though, right? Because eventually, one way or another, we end up back in the room again and we have to deal with the pressure that has come on in our world. I think this call to faithfulness is really summed up in a call to stay in the room, to stay in the battle or the thing that you are dealing with. Because pressure is actually okay. What if you're trying to escape from the very thing that God wants you to grow through? What if the thing that you're praying that God would take away is the actual tool that he's using to grow your capacity and enlarge you as a person? Pressure is what builds our faith and capacity. Pressure is what creates wine. Pressure makes diamonds. Without pressure, we don't get those amazing things. Let me tell you this morning, City Church, a little bit of pressure is actually good for you. It's actually good for you. If it was okay for Jesus, I think it's okay for us. My soul is crushed with grief. If you can win in the midst of pressure in a year like 2020, and if you can stay in the room and you can stay faithful, then just imagine what God is going to do with your life. When we leave the room, the pressure comes off. But if we stay in the room, we grow through the pressure. God builds our capacity. We stay faithful to his vision and to his calling. Back to Paul's story, verse 9. He says, in fact, we expected to die. It's getting worse, right? This is crazy. We expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. Who raises the dead? I love how he just adds that little tagline in there. Just in case you're wondering who God was, he's the one that raises the dead, right? Rely on God who raises the dead. So in the face of an impossible situation, some trouble that Paul and his colleagues were facing, they expected to die, and yet they stayed in the room. They learned to rely on God, and that faithfulness helped them to rely on him. The called, the chosen, and the faithful will be with Jesus when he overcomes. If we can be faithful, the word of God promises that Jesus will overcome. We know that the name of Jesus is greater than anything else that'll come against us, right? He will always win. So if we can hang on to him, stay faithful to him, then the Bible says that we will overcome. If he raised people from the dead, then he can help you with what you're facing in 2020, heading into 2021. I think he can. Verse 10, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. If he's done it before, he can do it again, right? We were singing about that earlier. If he's done it before, he can do it again. Faithfulness always leads to victory. Faithfulness will lead you to victory because Jesus is victorious. He's done it in your life before. He can do it again. Maybe if the band can come, I'm going to close shortly. But at the end of 2020, here we are, the last Sunday. As Victor said, you've cancelled church for the rest of the year. You're going to do it again next year. At the end of 2020, I feel so honored and privileged to be able to speak to you guys this morning. Let me just say this. Let me suggest to you that in this crazy season we find ourselves in, the end of this year that no one predicted, no one thought was going to happen, as we look to 2021, whatever that's going to hold, let me just say this. My belief is that success for right now is simply faithfulness. It's faithfulness. Forget about everything else. Let's just focus on being faithful. We've done this as a church. I'm sure you guys have too. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Keep on doing it. Keep on showing up. How do you overcome all that 2020 has thrown at you? Simply by remaining faithful as you head into 2021. Now, faithfulness sounds easy, but in actual fact, it's pretty flipping hard. Because everything inside of you will be screaming at you to get out of the room. Leave the room. Get away from the pressure. I can't cope anymore. I just have to go. Maybe you want to slam the door on the way out too. I don't know. Just stay in the room. Someone needs to hear this morning. Faithfulness is staying in the room. If you can do that, you will be successful. No matter what 2021 throws at us, it can do whatever it wants to because we're going to stay faithful. And Jesus is greater than anything that any year can throw at us. And if we hang on to him and we stay faithful, we will push through and success is promised to us. Maybe it's not as drastic as your whole faith walk this morning. Maybe it's something like a relationship or your job. Or maybe serving in church. Or maybe it's a dream that you've been hanging on to and you're just about at the point of letting that thing go. Think it's never going to happen now. Hang on to it. Stay faithful to it. God can work with your faithfulness. When everything seems overwhelming and too much to cope with, you don't know how you're going to get through and figure this whole thing out. Just let all the plans go. Focus on him. Hold on to him. Stay faithful to him. And I guarantee you that everything else will work itself out. So my advice here this morning, the last Sunday of the year, is so simple. Two words. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to what God has placed in front of you. Don't tap out. Stay in the room. Success looks like faithfulness. You are called. You are chosen. And you can remain faithful. You are an overcomer, whether you feel like it or not. Come on, let faith rise in your heart this morning. You are an overcomer. It's time to start dreaming again, City Church. Dream for 2021, but dream bigger than that. Dream for the decade ahead. Dream for your lifetime ahead. Dream for that calling that God's placed in your heart. Dream for that big picture thing that seems almost impossible. And any excuse that we have on a 2020 year like this, the COVID-19, is just like, oh, I'm just going to let that thing go. No, start dreaming again. Hang on to that thing. Allow the power of God to breathe on it. Fan it to flame again, because there's dreams sitting inside of this room that are going to come into reality. The only thing that you have to do is commit to staying faithful. 2020 cannot rob you of that stuff. Don't give some virus the power to alter the course of your life. Would you stand with me? I want to pray. And the power of God is here. He's ministering to people. And I know that this word is stirring something in your spirit. Would you close your eyes? Maybe just block out all other distraction. If you feel comfortable, just lift your hands to heaven. That's just a sign of surrender and worship. And I'm going to pray a real simple prayer. And then I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. God, as we stand here in your house this morning, as we feel your presence all around us, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you'd minister to every person, every hungry heart, that you would stir faith in us to stay faithful, that you'd remind us of what you've placed in our hand, that we would not tap out, that we would stay in the room, and that we would stay faithful. God, give us the strength to do that. God, we're calling dreams out in Jesus' name. Not dreams that we can achieve in our own strength. Not little dreams, but big, scary, faith-filled dreams. God, I'm asking by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would fan those to flame again, that you would ignite the sparks of dream in people's hearts again. For those who have beaten down by a year like this year, for those who have been influenced by the pandemic, Lord, we break the power of that in Jesus' name, and we speak to the dream that God has placed in people's hearts. God, we thank you that with you all things are possible. God, we thank you that we can dream big, that we can achieve big. Lord, that success this season is simply faithfulness. And God, we declare that every person who is connected with you this morning would leave this auditorium filled with faith, dreaming big again, with a fresh determination and a fresh commitment to stay faithful to whatever you're calling us to. Thank you, Lord. And just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give an opportunity for people to say yes to Jesus this morning. There's no greater decision that you could ever make. On the last Sunday of 2020, you made the right call being in church. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe you're visiting and people brought you in as an extended family. Whatever reason that you're here, God has a purpose for you to be here. And people need to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you recognize that, hey, yeah, I'm called. But maybe you haven't chosen to step from darkness into light. But that's a choice that you can make this morning. It'll change the course of your future forever. Whether that's for the very first time and you need to make that commitment, or maybe you're here this morning and after a year like we've had, if you were honest, you'd say, man, I really haven't been faithful. Jesus, I haven't really been faithful to what you've been calling me to. In fact, I'm really barely hanging on. And this morning, you need to make a fresh commitment to Christ. You need to come back into relationship with him. You need to say, yes, Jesus, I'm all in. I commit my life 100% to you. I want to hang on faithfully to you and see success in my world as I do that. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never said yes to Jesus before and you want to commit your life to him, or you want to come back into relationship, commit to being faithful, just put your hand up nice and high, and I want to include you in a prayer. That's awesome.
awesome. Thank you. Who else? Somebody else. You want to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. Thank you. That's fantastic. Somebody else. Thank you. I see that hand too. Somebody else. You need to say yes to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's fantastic. Somebody else, you haven't put your hand up yet. You want to be included in this prayer, committing to Jesus 100%. You're going to come back in to relationship with him. Somebody else, give you another 5 seconds. I want to include you in a prayer. We're all going to pray it together. I'm not going to embarrass you or bring you forth. Thank you. That's fantastic. Awesome. Awesome. Guys, this is the greatest decision that you'll ever make. What an incredible thing to do on the last Sunday of 2020. Commit to coming into relationship. Hey, would you all pray together with me? It's a simple prayer. You know, the words actually don't matter too much. It's a heart response. But what we find is that words help to articulate what's going on in our heart or our spirit. So church, let's all pray this together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I ask for forgiveness. And I commit to staying faithful for the rest of my life. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I receive him now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give those people a huge round of applause. You know, I've just got a couple of minutes. This is what I want to do before we close. Because this is all good, right? And it's a great challenge. But it needs to be solidified in our spirit as we head out, because the relentlessness of life is still going to carry on. And something Victor said just as he got up to do the link out of worship, he talked about a sense of people were feeling dry almost because you're just hungry for more of him. You know, I've found over the years the greatest thing to catalyst our spiritual walk, our commitment to Christ, is just to have a drink of the Holy Spirit, to breathe in his presence. And I'd love to create an opportunity just for 2 minutes before we close this service for every person who is hungry to have a drink, to breathe in the presence of the living God. You know, God is not dead. He's not distant. He's not some big fat ogre on a mantelpiece. He is real. He's alive. He loves you. He's close to you. And you don't have to do life on your own. And so let's lift our hands right up high. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your power that is in here. We tune our attention to you right now. Lord, I am asking for a fresh touch, a fresh encounter with your power. Lord, we breathe you in right here in this moment. God, we're hungry for more of you. God, I'm asking that you would meet us where we're at, for every dry person, for every weary person, for every person who has been beat up over 2020. God, I'm praying that you would meet them right where they're at, that you would hug them, that you would love them, that you would pour your power into them. Lord, that there would be a fresh touch, a fresh encounter of the power of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just receive that. It's right there. Thank you, Lord. We breathe you in. You know, sometimes it's good just to take a big, deep breath in. It's like, just breathe them in. Breathe out. Breathe them in again. God, fill your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, City Church. Stay faithful. Keep going. You've got this. It's going to be an incredible year ahead for you, for your family, and for this church. We're cheering you on all the way.